Welcome to the Safety Pro Roundtable. Every week on this show, you will hear from safety professionals around the industry as we talk about challenges, innovations, and stories that will help you lead a better safety program. This is the Safety Pro Roundtable.
Okay, welcome back to the SASPA Safety Roundtable podcast. I'm here today with Doug Bing, the safety superintendent for Hope Concrete down in Bonham, Texas. How's Bonham today?
We're having storms today, as a matter of fact, so it's pretty wet.
Well, it is beautiful here in Colorado today, so typically it is. Okay, so I'm really excited to have you on. We are going to be talking about your four, you put safety pros in four categories.
Just basic categories, I guess. Someone could argue that there could be different ones, but this is what I came up with. Basically, my thought process was, how can one person as a safety professional affect or impact the safety culture the most, the best, the most, get the most productivity out of it? Because impact could be positive, negative, or indifferent, but reaching your goals and getting what you want out of it, that's what you're really after. So
right.
In my mind, I was thinking you can do that as a four different ways. I mean, you've got instructors, you've got teachers, you've got a coach, and you've got cops as basically your four stereotypical safety personalities. And so sometimes there's a need for all of them, but you may be able to get more for your specific instance from one or the other. So to break it down into my thinking, I'm thinking an instructor. An instructor teaches a practical skill, typically a hands-on trade when you think of an instructor, but in the safety world, it may not be hands-on. It could be classroom setting, hypothetical situations. A teacher and an instructor has a short-term students, a couple hours, a couple days, a couple weeks. A teacher is going to be imparting knowledge, but usually on a longer basis over a broader range of subject. A cop is more of, think of a disciplinarian, enforcer, auditor. Cop finds infractions, non-conforming behavior or environment. And then you have a coach. And the coach is kind of, you could put teacher and instructor into the definition of a coach, and it would all be accurate. And it's hard to kind of think of it. So I looked it up online. And here's what I found. The main difference between coaching and teaching is that coaching is a multidimensional cyclical activity that aims to bring out a particular aspect of the subject who is being coached, where teaching is more of a straight line, step-by-step approach comprised mostly of one-way communication with the goal of presenting brand new, never before learned information. So, and that last part I think is very important. A teacher or an instructor, they give you the knowledge and then it's done. A coach, it doesn't matter if you're talking about in sports or if you're talking about in safety, it's repetitive, repetitive, repetitive.
Okay.
So, and that doesn't mean that every time you see something or you say something, that there's a consequence. Sure, sometimes there is. Maybe even with coaches. I remember if I missed that ground ball in high school, I was running two laps. And you know what? It was good incentive. But I also know that I was taught how to do it correctly. And I was taught over and over and over again. I mean, there's a reason why you take grounders every day. There's a reason why you run these drills every day in high school, collegiate, pro sports. The pros still do it. Do they have batting practice? Sure they do. You got to go over the basics continually or it gets lost. So that's, I kind of went on rambling on, but that's where I came up with those four different brackets that you could place a safety instructor or a safety person in. And
So the main difference is you're saying that it's the more of the repetitive kind of going back to the fundamentals and then just like repeating the information and repeating the fundamentals and repeating. I like what you said about, you said the cop is like the disciplinarian, right? And then you've got the coach or the teacher and the instructor. And it's like one thing and then move on to the next thing, move on to the next thing. It's like a cumulative maybe information, but where the coach is kind of doing more repeating. I don't know. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, not from the definition, a coach also teaches more than the, what's the word I'm looking for? More than the thought process of what's going into what you're learning, but also the attitude, the mindset, the sense of community and team that is so important, because if you don't have that sense of community and team, how are you going to get what you want as a safety professional from your organization? We're not talking about convincing one person. We're talking about convincing an entire organization to get better at this, to do this rather than that. And that comes down to convincing one person at a time. So you've got to have that mindset to where if you taught this yesterday and you see somebody messing up on it today, you've got to have that coach mentality. Hey, what did we talk about yesterday? Do you remember? Did you think about it and just not do it? Is it too much of a pain in the rear end? What's your going on up here when you did that? Not yes. After you saw me, before you saw that I saw you, what was going on right here? And the answers can be really interesting sometimes. The answers can be, well, yeah, my safety glasses were over there on the bench and I took them off because I was sweating. It's 105 degrees in here. I knew I was supposed to have them on, but I just forgot to put them back on. Then I saw you and I'm like, ah, crap, here we go. So, you know, is it that, or is it, I hate those things. They bother the heck out of me. I'm never going to wear them. So the answer, and that's just a simple explanation of PPE not being worn. It can go into, you know, process of how come you didn't follow the procedure? Why'd you take shortcuts on doing this? How come you didn't go get that? But anybody can point out what was wrong. It's how do we keep it from happening again? And you can put as many procedures and administrative controls and engineering controls as you want into something. And anybody with half a mind can go around it. I can engineer safety stops and integrated safety features where it'll trip one thing or the other. But anybody with half a mind can say, well, if I unplug this, that safety stop's not going to work and I can make it work the way I want it to. So you got to get in here. And for me, how I prefer to do it is through coaching, because I've tried the COP approach. And yes, you get quantifiable results quickly with that. I can show statistics and say, we went from having 86 reported infractions a month to having 50 reported infractions a month, an increase of, you know, 46%, whatever, off the top of the head.
Basically handing out tickets and saying. Yes.
And then you can brag on how effective it is. If bragging, I don't want to say brag, but you can show how effective it is, especially to your chain of command, and say, look, I am paying attention. I am out there. I am doing this. I am doing that. But the second you turn your back, is it still happening? Because they know that you went to your office and now they just chunked those safety glasses and they got to watch out. They got to look out looking for you. Hey, here it comes. Come on. So,
but you didn't get to the thought process.
So if you get it in here, that's when you start changing thinking and not just behaviors. Because if you want to change behaviors, you have to change thinking. Thought process.
Yeah, I'm with you. So have you been all four of these? Have you been the teacher, the instructor, the cop, and the coach?
I've had plenty of times where employees have to come to me and get a certain certification that's up for renewal every year, every 2 years or whatever. And in that case, you're an instructor. I've also been a teacher. And by in this role and the roles that I've had in the past, to be a teacher, basically you kind of take on a protege. You take somebody under your wing, and you may have to explain to them, hey, there's a reason why this is on that inspection checklist. Did you know that that's law? That's not just a rule that somebody said, hey, it's safer if we do this way. That's law. This is an OSHA standard. That's why it's on this checklist. So we can't just pencil whip this and check it off. We actually have to inspect this step ladder. We have to make sure that everything is appropriate and then move on to the next subject. So if you've got a situation where you can actually teach, that's a blessing. It causes more work because you're teaching and not just doing it. But eventually then you've got disciples out spreading the word, looking out, coming back to you, letting you know what's going on when you're not there. Were the thought processes changed, or was it just because you were there? And without that information coming back to you, that communication, it's really difficult to tell if you've made a change up here or not, because people can fool you. They can say, oh yeah, I'm on board. Yeah, whatever. Hey, boss man, you got it. Whatever you say, you know, he's gone. Forget everything he said. Get to work and get it done fast. So.
Yeah. So which one? Okay. You said you've been all of these.
I think everybody has at one point or another, if you're in this line of work. So, and I mean, you may have put on several different caps in one day, but you know, less specific and more broad, I'm thinking, what over the course of a month, over the course of a quarter, over the course of a half year, over the course of 1 year, what mindset do I want to have? So yeah, today I may need to be a cop. I may need to go out here and do an inspection. And if I find something wrong, I need to get whoever's responsible for them and show them and not just fix it for them. That's what they want, but make it get fixed. And whether or not that requires a disciplinary action or, you know, just a talking to, a coaching, then that can be decided on several things. Was it repetitive? What's their attitude? You know, are they being respectful? Was it an honest mistake? You know, this, that, and the other. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you gotta be, you just can't be the nice guy all the time.
I don't believe that would work in your line of work, being the nice guy all the time.
Well, some people try it and it can have some success, but I think it's going to be limited. You have to be able to, here's the hard part. Here's the balancing act. So in order to change the mindset, what do? You develop relationships, you develop mm-hmm. a sense of trust, you develop a sense of community within the organization. And, you know, whether it's a true friendship that is outside of work or whether it's just, you know, a friendship, you're friendly to each other at work. So what happens now when one of your favorite people does a genuine screw up, a genuine, you know, and what's more, and okay, so two different instances with this. One, there has not been a precedent set. Someone else has not done this and had something done as a result. I think those instances are that much more difficult to navigate what to do. And you have to tell yourself, if this person did that, what would I do? And if this person did that, do I still agree with what I did here and put it together?
It sounds like my children.
Well, I mean,
because if one of my kids does it, it's cute. And if the other one does it, it's not that cute. So it's like it's consistency.
That sense of trust, you have to be fair, right? So
right.
If I run a stop sign and it's caught by the telematics on the truck today, and I get suspended for 3 days, loss of pay, and I know good and well, my buddy Joe did the same thing last week. He got called into the office. He didn't lose 3 days pay. Mm-hmm. I'm more upset now. Now I'm either actively seeking for another job, or I've got my ears open, ready to hear about another job.
Absolutely. And so if there's no consistency, then there's no trust.
But if I know Joe lost 3 days' pay, and now I know I ran that stop sign, there's video proof of it. They're talking to me. Now I'm losing 3 days' pay. I still might be looking for another job, but not nearly with the same amount of, trying to get out of here as fast. Because I know it was fair. I knew it was coming. I know the consequences. Right. So that's the hard part, is when somebody you like messes up, it's real easy to, you know, hey, get your act together, you know, give them a slap on the back. And they say, yeah, you're right, boss, sorry. And then that guy that you may not be so fond of does the same thing. Does he get the same response? Mm-hmm. So that's where it's really hard to continue coaching and not become the cop.
It's almost like if you incorporate, if you can, because a coach to me is kind of like a teacher, instructor, and a cop, like you said, mm-hmm. because they're teaching and they're instructing at times using, you know, showing you how to do it. But then there's that disciplinarian side too, where it's like, you need to run laps or you're going to do, you know, gassers or things like that. So it's like if you can kind of be all of those things, what you're, and then be those things long-term.
Right.
So, cause there's the teacher, the instructor, the coach, and the cop, but if you can be a coach long-term, then that's going to give you a long-term results.
Yeah. So to enforce what you're talking about, my first safety job as a full-time safety person, I was warned ahead of time that the culture was horrible, that shortcuts were being turned all the time, but the men worked extremely long, grueling hours in heat, cold, outside weather. It didn't matter. They could work 17, 18 hours at a time sometimes, and they were loyal. They didn't go down the street for a nickel or a quarter more. They stayed there. But like I said, the culture was horrible, and I got warned and said, you're going to have to make a splash or you won't get respected. Basically, I think I was told, the way I interpreted it was, we can afford to lose one or two of them if an example needs to be set. So my first day when they introduced me, and by the way, they gave me a chance to walk around before anybody knew me during the interview. So, because they said, I want you to see what you're getting into before you accept this job. And so I knew, I saw what was going on, and they're right. It was horrible. And I mean,
define horrible. What does that mean?
You couldn't throw a rock without hitting an OSHA violation.
Okay. Noted. Got it.
So, I mean, you're talking about the inside of a shop where they lift and remake heavy machinery. Every lifting strap was ripped and torn, didn't have proper tags. The cranes weren't certified, didn't have proper tags. Hard hats weren't being worn. Safety glasses weren't being worn. Gloves weren't being worn. Trash, flammable liquids kept next to heaters. You name it, anything you can think of, electrical cords strung everywhere. If you could create a checklist up for an inspection and say, we have to fail every one of them, mission accomplished. So I walked in my first day, I said, I'm by the book. If you're by the book, we're going to get along just fine. If you're not by the book, we're not going to get along. If you continue to not be by the book, you're going to kick rocks, and I'm going to continue to have my job and be by the book. That's just the way it's going to be. And that was a strategy of mine to come off as a cop, even though my intention was to be a coach. I thought, if they think that I'm a jerk from the get-go, they'll listen to what I say instead of blow it off, and I won't have to fire anybody. But I didn't tell anybody that was my plan. So I was like, if they hate me for a little while, so be it. And that's how it went. They hated me. I mean, I was nobody's friend, and that's fine. I didn't come there to make friends. But yes, the first few weeks, the first few months, I could sit here and I could say, this is where we've improved. This is down this much percent. This is up this much percent. But then you plateau for a little while until you start affecting how they think, whether or not they care about doing something this way or that way. And it took months to get that going and showing that I was a coach instead of being a cop, because you never get a second chance for a first impression, right? So I did make the splash, but, and I did get accomplished what I wanted, but where I wanted to go just took longer than I think maybe if I'd have had a different approach. So by the time I left there was when I would see people go up to their coworkers and hand them, hey, you forgot your safety glasses. Go up and knock them on the top back of their head friendly and say, dude, you just came back from break with no hard hat. Go get your stuff. Dude, you know we can't work until we do the JSA and clock in every morning. Get over here. Let's fill out the paperwork. So by the time I had been there a year or so, that's when that stuff started working. And I wanted to see that, you know, in probably 50% of that time I thought was realistic. So yeah, you got to create realistic goals for yourself and others, but it just took longer because I came off as such a cop, even though I never once made good on that threat. By making that threat, you know, if I looked at somebody and said, I see you, then they'd start doing right. Instead of, whatever. So anyhow, that was just a small regret with that one placement.
So, okay, I was getting ready to ask that. So if you could do it all over again, how would you do it differently? Would you go in as the cop and start being hard, or would you do it differently? And I guess, how would you do it?
I would do it differently. I learned something after I'd been there for a few months, and I had a background in that industry. It was oil and gas. And I've been a roughneck in my life, so I knew a lot of the equipment, but when I was a roughneck, that's on, you know, the wildcat in stages where you're drilling the holes and punching holes in the ground. Well, this was on completions, and there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences also. So once I started walking through the shop and I would stop a man and say, teach me something. And I would point at something and have him explain it to me. What's going on here, or what exactly does that equipment do? Why are we rebuilding it this way? Why does it need this cert? Why does it need this? And one, I think that they saw that I valued them as an expert.
Yes.
And when I said, teach me something, that's the same as me saying, I don't know.
And I'm a human.
So they got it. That one phrase accomplished so much at the same time. It let me know I valued their opinion. I valued their skills. I admitted that I don't know what's going on with that. And sometimes I would say, teach me something, and point at something that some other guy had told me about 3 times last week. I may know about it already. And that instilled that feeling and that thought process in that employee that I'm now talking to. But also, it's interesting how many different answers you'll get for the same thing. You can ask 10 carpenters how to make a drawer, and you're going to get 13 answers. So, you know, by talking to these different folks, you can establish best practices. And that's the one thing that I tried to impart in them. I'm like, look, guys, I'm in here writing procedures. I'm in here writing standards. And the last thing that I want, and the last thing you want, is somebody in an office that doesn't know how it works telling you how to do it. So by instilling that sense of team, that sense of community, and just being a little bit of everything, but mostly the coach, I think it worked out a lot better.
So when you walked in the door last time, and you know, how you did it that time, I guess, so how would you do it differently? I know you kind of talked a little bit about like getting their opinions, but in terms of like how you walked in the door and presented yourself, as the cop, would you do that differently? And I guess, what would you do specifically different?
Yeah, I wouldn't make the threat about you're going to kick rocks and I'm going to keep my job. So it's perfectly fine to say I'm by the book, because, I mean, anybody in our industry needs to be. It's setting yourself up for failure if you turn a blind eye. But, you know, instead of making a threat on the job, which I had no intention to follow forward with unless forced to, then just choose something different where you're going about it a different way. So I'm trying to put it into words, the thought process I'm thinking of. It's just trying to be less intimidating and more cooperative. And also, for anybody that's going into a new position in the safety field or anything, I encourage this. Your first week, your first 2 weeks, don't look at what's needed. Don't try to find what's needed. Don't try to find what's changed. Ask. Find out what's important to the people that you are working with. What's important to me may not be important to you. I may not give a you know what about whether or not we have to wear a certain amount of pair of gloves. I don't care. But the men in that shop, they may care very, very much. That extra $1.25 that we're saving a pair might drive them crazy that they don't have the gloves that they used to have 6 months ago because we've made a cost savings of $1.25 here and $1.25 there.
I'm with you.
And one of the worst answers that I ever hear dealing with a situation is, why did this happen? Why did we do it this way? Well, we don't have what we need, so we have to do it this way. That's my fault. If you have what you need and you still chose to do it that way, then that's your fault. But if you didn't have what you needed physically, the equipment, the PPE, whatever it is, what choice do you have if you're told you have to get that job done? You right. stop work or you do the job. And how many people are going to stop work indefinitely to get the job done without fear of losing their job? Especially if you're not in town, if you're at a remote location. I mean, some of these guys were 76 miles from town out in the desert, and you can't just go to the Dollar General and get what you need.
Sounds like you got a lot of experience on your hands.
I'm getting there.
Getting there?
Getting there.
Well, this has been really, really great. So we've got the teacher, the instructor, the coach, and the cop. And your top side thoughts are, if you're the coach, you're going to be the most successful.
Yeah, you got to reinforce the situations, the behavior, the environments that are positive. You can't just take them for granted. You got to reinforce it. You got to celebrate your successes. You also have to address the shortcomings. I'll never forget this. In that same job that I had, there was a place up front where you could walk and you didn't have to wear PPE. And that allowed office personnel to get to the shop office back and forth without having to. Anyways, and I would make that trek several times to go and talk to the shop manager. And first few months, I would do that when people weren't wearing their safety glasses, and they'd go, oh, and they'd put their safety glasses on. Well, it got to the point to where I would make the same eye contact with somebody and they didn't have their safety glasses on. I thought, well, they saw me see them, so now they're going to put their safety glasses on. Well, one time the foreman was walking by one of the repeat offenders and he didn't say anything to it. And I pulled the foreman aside. I said, why are you continuing to allow this guy to work with no safety glasses? You have to be my eyes and ears and my mouth when I'm not here. And he rolled his eyes. He said, you want to know what? I just said something to him. I said something to him. You want to know what he told me? He said the safety man just walked by and saw me and didn't say nothing. So it must be okay. So don't think just because they saw you see them that that was enough. You have to say something. Every time, for the 20th time, the 50th time, the 100th time, if you get tired of saying something, you need to escalate the situation. You need to write them up. You need to walk them in, have a meeting with their supervisor. If that doesn't work, you need to have a meeting with that person's supervisor. You need to continue to go up the food chain. If you're not going to say anything, don't give up. If you're not going to say anything, the situation needs to be corrected, not continued. And that's done by coaching.
I love it. That's a good story. I like that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
No problem.
Really good. This has been great. I really appreciate your perspective. I think that you and I appreciate you articulating this very well and in sharing with us your experience with this. So, Doug Bing, you are wonderful.
No, thanks.
And I really appreciate all your thoughts. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Pro Roundtable. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EH software in the industry. If you're ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That is www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Pro Roundtable.